You're listening to the Screaming Pods Network.
Welcome to another episode of Just the Discs. My name is Brian Sauer. This is my podcast about Blu-rays. This episode I'm talking about one of my favorite labels. I've called them this before, justifiably, because they continue to put out good stuff. This particular episode includes four titles from them, two of which are a couple of my favorite movies, basically of all time. So hats off again, and of course I'm talking about the Indicator series label from the UK. First on my stack is a little movie called Charlie Varick from 1973.
How much money you reckon we got here?
I don't know.
Half a million?
Could be.
Well, what's bothering you?
I don't know. Something smells bad.
Charlie. You smell bad. Now, don't you run a game out on me or I'll hang you out to dry.
What's that kind of money doing in the Tres Cruces Bank?
Well, where should it be?
Bank that size figures to have maybe $30,000-$20,000 in
its tops. Just let me ask you one question. The money was there, right?
Yeah.
Now it's here, right?
Yeah.
So what's the big deal?
We interrupt this program with another late bulletin about the Tres Cruces Bank robbery in which there are three known dead and one sheriff's deputy still in critical condition. Harold Young, Tres Cruces Bank manager, has estimated that the bandits escaped with less than $2,000. Sheriff Horton of San Miguel County predicts an early arrest. And now back to your program.
What the hell was that about?
I don't know.
Who are they kidding? Us? Don't they think we can count?
Doesn't make any sense unless...
Unless what?
Unless it's a drop.
What's a drop?
Now, you know what dirty money is. That's the kind of money you can't declare on your income tax. But when certain people get that kind of money, what they do is send it out of the country to invest. And when it comes back, it's clean.
So?
So maybe that little bank was a drop, a collection point. Maybe all this was on its way out of the country.
Fantastic! We lucked out!
More like crapped out. It's 10-1 this stuff belongs to the mafia. This is gambling money, skimmed off the top, whore money, dope money.
What's the difference?
The difference is that the mafia kills you. No trial, no judge. They never stop looking for you, not till you're dead. I'd rather have 10 FBIs after me. Mafia money. All I wanted was a small take, in and out, quick, no big deal.
Well, don't you worry, Charlie. Because if you don't want your share, I'll be more than happy to take it over for you.
I'm sure you would, Harmon.
Well, what do you want to do? Give it back?
I've been thinking about it.
Charlie Varick.
Now, this one has come up on Pure Cinema a couple times, at least, I think. It's a Don Siegel-directed film starring Walter Matthau. But it's got a great cast outside of that, which also includes Joe Don Baker, Andy Robinson, who most will remember as the bad guy in Dirty Harry. He plays a really solid, like, combative, sort of shifty sidekick role to Matthau in this one. And then John Vernon, shout out to my pal Bob, who loves John Vernon, who plays like a bank manager.
I believe you, Harold. I only hope they do when the time comes. We might as well face it, they're going to ask questions. For instance, we've been keeping various sums of money in the bank from time to time. But the one time we really load up, bang, this little horseshit bank a million miles from nowhere gets hit by four professionals. Now they're going to think that's strange.
Well, it's a coincidence, that's all. Just a coincidence. They do happen, you know.
Yeah. But they're going to think it's odd that you made no effort to get the police. That you just trotted right over and opened the vault.
There really wasn't anything else I could do.
Oh, no? You could have fainted.
I had a gun at my head, don't you understand?
I understand perfectly.
I am not a physically courageous man, Maynard.
It's our mafia friends who won't understand. They're gonna wonder why you led them directly to the vault with the money in it, instead of the empty vault in the rear. And frankly, Hal, why did you do that?
Do you know what would have happened if I had taken those people to an empty vault?
Number one, the money would have been saved. Number two, there'd be no question of an inside job.
Inside job?
That's the way the diseased minds work. A bank gets it, Bang, they look for a double cross.
Why couldn't it be just a coincidence?
Because they don't believe in coincidence.
And then Norman Fell, Mr. Roper from Three's Company. I love him too. Anyway, the basic plot is that a man and his wife and their partner stage a bank robbery that kind of goes bad, and they are unaware that they actually have stumbled across like a mob safe house. This bank is storing like $750,000 worth of mob money. It's like a, you know, bank in the middle of nowhere. And so Charlie Varick, that's Matthau, his response is like, oh man, we gotta give it back or do something because they're gonna kill us. Like, the mob doesn't quit. You don't steal mob money. And, you know, his partner, of course, is like, whatever, let's keep it. Or, you know, Matthau's like, we're gonna have to wait 3 years to use it. And so you can tell there's tension between them, like, right off the bat, which is great. But then the mob sends Joe Don's character after them to try and find him and get the money back. And this is one of the more evil Joe Don characters I've ever seen. I mean, he's pretty evil in things like Fletch and, was it License to Kill, that Bond movie? I forget. But this is his most evil. Like, he'll, you know, mess with anybody, kill anybody that gets in his way, toss a guy in a wheelchair across a room to get information.
What I have for you is special information. Cost me a lot of money. I got to get something for it.
Well, you're going to earn a great deal of goodwill.
I got all the goodwill I need. If you want to know what I know, get some cash on the counter.
Now sit there and start talking with goodwill.
You know, he establishes himself as not a nice guy, which I like, because then, you know, the stakes are high and anybody could get it. So, but it's a very sort of clever robbery movie where there's lots of little twists and trying to evade the cops, and sometimes it works and sometimes it goes bad, and it just has that general sense of movies that show you the, on a practical level, what criminals have to deal with. Like, I gotta get a passport, you know, tonight to get out of the country, and how much will that cost, and who do I deal with, and can I trust them, and no, you probably can't, and, you know. And then I had totally forgotten that William Shalhoub plays the sheriff in this movie, which is an odd role for him. He usually plays smaller side roles, not so authoritative. You know, we just talked about him recently on the Matinee episode, where he plays the doctor in Mant, and he's, of course, the dad on the Patty Duke show, and he's a Joe Dante favorite. Anyway, I just had forgotten he was the sheriff in this. Also, I noticed a line that Tarantino clearly lifted for Pulp Fiction, where John Vernon says,
you know what kind of people they are. They'll strip you naked and go to work on you with a pair of pliers and a blowtorch.
Now, that's very much like the line that Marcellus Wallace says in Pulp Fiction, so I'm quite sure that Tarantino's a fan of this movie. I feel like I've even heard him mention it. It's just a great, you know, 70s crime movie. Just really neat. So that's Charlie Varick. Special features include High Definition Remaster, Original Mono Audio, Last of the Independents, Don Siegel and the Making of Charlie Varick, 2015, 75 minutes. That's a really nice doc from, I think, a German Blu-ray is where I first saw it, but it's great to have it here. Feature-length documentary containing interviews with Andy Robinson and Jacqueline Scott, stunt driver Craig R. Baxley and Siegel's son, Christopher Tabori. The John Player Lecture with Don Siegel, 1973, 75 minutes. Archival audio recording of an interview conducted by Tony Sloman at London's National Film Theatre. Very cool. I haven't heard a lot of interviews with Siegel, and this was fascinating. The Guardian Lecture with Walter Matthau, 1988, 89 minutes. Archival audio recording of an interview conducted by Tony Sloman at London's National Film Theatre. Also great. Super 8 version, 18 minutes. Original uncut Universal 8 cut down home cinema presentation. Theatrical trailer, Josh Olson and Howard Rodman trailer commentary.
We're here to talk about Charlie Varick, which is a movie I adore, and which I adore as well because my father, Howard Rodman Sr., was one of the writers on it. But there's somebody who likes this movie even more than I do, if such a thing is possible, and that's Josh.
That may be, and I also have a father connection. My father used to take me to all these wildly inappropriate movies when I was a kid, although Charlie Varick is not inappropriate at all. It's a wonderful film. And this film, in a lot of ways, really formed how I perceive how to structure a story, how to tell a story on film, partially because I came into it, we were trying to get into some other film, and it was sold out, and we just went to whatever was showing, and I think we walked into Charlie Varick in the middle, and it's got this great plot that has a surprise ending, and having then seen it from the beginning again, knowing what was going to happen, it gave me all this kind of insight into my 8-year-old mind as to how to tell a story and how to set things up.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm always trying to teach my screenwriting students is you want to tell a story that going forward seems pretty continuously surprising, and then going backwards seems pretty inevitable that it ended up there. And that's a real hard thing to do, and that's something that I think Charlie Varick actually pulls off.
Perfectly, yes, and I'm stealing that and claiming credit for it.
Feel free.
Because it is Hollywood.
A 40-page booklet with an essay by author and critic Richard Combs, Don Siegel on Charlie Varick, an overview of contemporary critical responses and film credits. I should mention this disc and three of the rest of them are Region B locked. These are some of the only Region B locked indicator discs. Most of their stuff is region free, but unfortunately, some of these Universal titles, I guess, have rights that need to be acquired for the States, and hopefully are acquired. Maybe Shout Factory's working on these. I have no idea. But definitely fire up your region-free player for Charlie Varick. And for my next one, which is Blue Collar from 1978.
From the author of Taxi Driver comes Blue Collar, the story of three men who spend their whole lives working to catch up.
There's going to be some changes, man, in the union. Big changes.
Everybody know what the plant is. The plant just short for plantation.
I was on that picket line every day.
That's right,
man. I'm still paying the bills and the money out of bar to support my family.
Who is it?
Mr. Brown?
Yes?
Yeah, my name is Mr. Berg. I'm with the Internal Revenue.
I don't want none.
But according to the hospital records, you claim six and you only have three.
I couldn't have all my kids in the hospital, man, you know.
Here, see, we have Sugar Ray Brown, you got Gloria Brown, you got O.J. Brown, Gail Sayers Brown, yeah. Jim Brown, Stevie Wonder Brown. Who's Stevie Wonder?
I was going to come by your house and see you, but I figured
hey,
maybe
listen,
to get...
man. Nobody comes near my house. Nobody I don't invite.
And you know, you should be done with that now. You're behind schedule.
This is company time, Bartowski.
What are you telling me, man? Now I'm going to be doing the work.
All three men?
Let's move it, Zeke. You're dragging. You're always dragging the line.
Well, the thing I don't understand is why you let the union rip you off as much as management, you know?
I do my job. Can't nobody stay no different. I was my own man when I came to work here. I'm gonna be my own man when I leave.
That saves you all the time talking about.
Kid, man, that's our union. They ain't got nothing but one guard.
Here's the safe. We'll torture it later. Let's get it out of here.
I kept the notebook.
Why? I thought you threw all that stuff out.
I hear you got something I want.
We can change the union with this book, baby.
Just leave me alone, man. I don't talk to no government agent.
We can't be seen with each other anymore. First of all, they know three guys did it. Two of them are black, one of them are white.
I want no sense.
Nobody.
Who sent you?
Nobody back. We got the wrong house.
How do I protect my family?
I'm the only one who can protect you or your family.
Friend, Jerry. But you're thinking white.
The American dream. If you're rich, you can buy it. If you're anything else, you've got to fight for it. Blue Collar.
Yeah, this is a really great Paul Schrader movie, one of his earliest, and it deals with some auto workers in a Detroit auto plant. Three workers, Zeke, played by Richard Pryor, Jerry, played by Harvey Keitel, and Smokey, played by Yaphet Kotto, are working at a car plant and just hanging out. And one day they come up with the idea that their union isn't helping them and they're going to rob the union. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily go well, but then they realize maybe they have some valuable material. Anyway, it's a fascinating study of sort of bureaucracy and racism and the evil and, I guess, sort of positive things that unions can do. But it's also very funny and depressing, and it's just a really neat portrait. And, you know, there's notoriously some issues on the set. Each of the actors, the major actors, Pryor, Keitel, and Kotto, all thought they were the star of the movie, and so There were some scenes that were difficult to film because the three sort of, I think, started to become at odds with each other based on that information they had been given. And there's definitely some scenes where, in fact, there's one famous scene where they got like one take and then Richard Pryor walked out and I don't think he ever came back. So surprisingly, though, the movie works really well and Pryor is fantastic in it. Keitel is good. Kodo's good. There's a wonderful supporting cast, including people like Ed Begley Jr., Lane Smith, Cliff DeYoung, Harry Northup, you know, just lots of familiar faces if you like 70s movies, Scorsese films, stuff like that. So really neat 70s auto worker movie. Special features include high definition remaster, original mono audio, audio commentary with writer-director Paul Schrader and author Maitland McDonough. It's a good commentary. I think that came over from the Anchor Bay DVD, which I've had for years, and I love that track.
The one thing I keep coming back to is why do people act against their own best interests? You know, that's classic kind of Freudian motivation of what makes people say one thing and do another. And so here you have men full of anger and frustration, and they take it out on the organization that is supposed to help them. So that was the sort of driving metaphor.
Your father's ugly, your whole family's ugly. Garlic breath, ugly, big gut motherfucker.
Paul Schrader, BFI Masterclass, 1982, 106 minutes. The filmmaker presents a fascinating summary of the many issues and ideas he explores in his screenwriting class, recorded at the National Film Theatre, London. Great, great stuff. Visions, interview with Paul Schrader, 1982, archival interview presented in two versions, the broadcast cut with its original Tony Raines introduction, 21 minutes, and the complete interview rushes with a newly recorded introduction by Tony Raines, 58 minutes. Keith Gordon on Blue Collar, 2018, 12 minutes, a newly filmed appreciation by the filmmaker and actor. Really cool stuff. I love Keith Gordon as an actor and as a filmmaker. He's a very thoughtful guy, very intelligent guy, and I had not realized he was a fan of this movie until this appreciation, which is great. Theatrical trailer, Josh Olson trailer commentary.
I don't know if this is a limitation of my own or not, but I've always felt that genre films are the best way to deal with pretty much any subject at all. We don't overtly go to movies to learn. We go to be entertained, to be told stories. That doesn't mean everything needs to be just dumb thrill rides, though. Far from it. But I find that if you build your ideas into the structure of something that's at least pulpy on the surface, you can get away with saying a lot more. Which is why a movie like Blue Collar, ostensibly a caper movie, ends up being a much more radical and daring commentary on the labor movement and the state of the working class in America than a film like Norma Rae, which came out a year later.
Limited 40-page booklet with new essay by Brad Stevens. Also Region B locked. Next up on my pile is The Border from 1982.
I ain't in this for murder, you hear me? No way that I'm in this for murder.
There's some real big money on the table. Smart man, he's gonna play his cards right tight up against his chest.
You're killing drivers. And don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Because if I don't know what I'm talking about, where's the driver you took in there today? See this line? This line right here I don't cross. This line right here.
Within every man, there are two men.
There's times when I feel like there's a whole other person in there. Just isn't the Charlie Smith that I married.
One who does what he's told to.
Game's a little different around here. There's some real big money on the table.
One who does what he has to.
I don't care about your money.
Well, you two,
your life is going to be fine.
Listen, you
and I ever get involved in murder. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Within every man, there is a difference.
No. No, senor. You don't owe me anything.
Between what he sees is wrong.
But I just left him on the other side with Adam's apple all over his chest.
And what he knows is right.
Hold it right there.
What do you want, boy?
Look for that kid you took off the truck.
Within every man, there is a distance.
I want to feel good about something sometime.
Between how far he's come.
We take care of business, Charlie. That's all we do. We take care of business.
And how far he'll go.
See this line? This line right here I don't cross. This line right here.
Within every man, there is a border.
I need the riot gun.
Once he crosses it, there's no going back.
How you doing, Charlie? Charlie's never been better, Red.
Jack Nicholson, The Border. It divided the land. It divided the man.
Now, this is directed by Tony Richardson and stars Jack Nicholson, Harvey Keitel, Warren Oates, Valerie Perrine, and it's kind of the story of a Border Patrol agent played by Nicholson who's sort of barely getting by, and then his wife, played by Valerie Perrine, convinces him to move from California to Texas into a duplex with her good friend and her husband, who also works for the Border Patrol, and he's played by Harvey Keitel. And their chief is played by Warren Oates, which is great. But you slowly come to realize that there's some corruption happening in his department, and he's not on board with it, and has to sort of Serpico a little bit. But it's also a really interesting story of, I mean, it looks like it's going to be this kind of thing where Nicholson's like evil and a badass, but he's actually pretty sensitive and thoughtful about what he's doing and the people that they're dealing with. And he sort of takes a liking to one particular woman who has her baby taken from her. And so there's this whole sort of subplot with that. But then there's a subplot with Valerie Perrine constantly buying new stuff and the tension he's feeling from the money that they don't have, that she's racking up debt to make their house better. And so it's interesting. I mean, Keitel plays kind of a scummy dude who's part of the corrupt group, you know. Seems like a interesting film for right now, you know. But I liked it. I didn't love it. It's pretty downbeat and tough to watch, a little frustrating. But Nicholson is great. It's a really, you know, solid performance from him during, you know, one of his better periods. So features include high definition remaster, original mono audio, audio commentary with critic and film historian Nick Pinkerton, The Guardian / BFI tribute to Tony Richardson, 1992, 58 minutes, archival audio recording of an event chaired by Sight and Sound editor Philip Dodd, featuring Lindsay Anderson, Kevin Brownlow, Jocelyn Herbert, Vanessa Redgrave, Carol Rice, and Natasha Richardson, each sharing their memories of Tony Richardson. Really neat little thing there. I like that a lot. Original trailer, 32-page booklet with new essay by author Scott Harrison, Tony Richardson on the border, screenwriter Waylon Green on Jack Nicholson and the border. Also region B-locked. Last up, The Fortune from 1975.
I can't believe I'm married. FQ figures a millionaire.
She's not a millionaire.
Sure. Didn't her mother leave her something? Wait. It'll come to me.
No, it won't. No, it won't. Will you get off of this? I told you, she hasn't got any money, goddammit.
Wait a minute.
Listen, let me just straighten the picture on the wall right now, okay? If I could have got my divorce, you wouldn't be married to anybody. You'd be behind bars where you belong, you cheap crook. Now do yourself a favor and stay away from her.
Ink! Ink! How is she?
She's still out cold.
Ink! Ink!
What?
Listen, doesn't she have some money in her own
right? Will you get off of this? I told you it's all in Daddy's hands, period. This is purely a love proposition between her and I, goddammit.
But wait a minute, Nick.
Listen, you may be saving me from the man act, kiddo, but I am saving you from the gallows. Now, when we get to Chicago, if you would prefer me to call the bank and point out the embezzlement of some $1,500 by their demo ex-bank teller, which I have covered at great personal cost.
Come on, Nick, you don't have to make these unpleasant threats.
Do you want to go to jail, or do you want to go to California?
California.
All right.
This one is directed by Mike Nichols, stars Jack Nicholson again, Warren Beatty, and Stockard Channing in one of her earliest roles, I believe. And it's basically about two morons. They're not idiots. They're pretty stupid. Played by Nicholson and Beatty, who are sort of trying to gain the fortune of this heiress played by Stockard Channing, but they're dealing with this whole thing called the Mann Act, where a man can't transport a woman across state borders, this is in 1920s, without it being seen as like trafficking prostitutes if they're not married. So Nicholson has to marry Stockard Channing, but really she's kind of the mistress of Warren Beatty's character, but he's married. It's a whole thing. So anyway, they go to California and they get a place and things start to get complicated between the three of them, and it's really funny.
All right, that's enough. Put that thing away.
It's a little. It just breaks me to pieces.
I'm going to break it to pieces and put it in the garbage.
Look at it with me, sweetie.
No, I will not look at it.
Just for one second.
Boy, this character will go to any extremes to get attention. Well, I tell you, he better get himself a job this week or that's it. No ifs, ands, or buts, I mean it. Let him play the big gift giver with his own money, the little Bolshevik.
Honey, just look at this little baby thing.
I'm gonna throw it out the window.
I think it thinks I'm its mother.
That's what I'll say about it. It's just a really great Nicholson performance, completely different from his Border performance. He plays kind of a mouth agape kind of buffoon, but like just smart enough to cause problems. And so to see the two of them, he and Beatty, sort of interacting is quite funny. They just really play well off each other.
Guy walks a wing and supposedly his friends say nothing about it.
No one's impressed. No one's impressed, jackass.
Oh, sweetie. Ow.
God damn it, I knew we should have assumed some names.
You ever hear of Armour Locklear?
I asked you, but no, you want to cause the whole thing to fizzle up in our faces. You want to put us all into striped suits.
I don't agree.
That's rich. Did you ever once stop and think what a mess you'd have put me into if you'd fallen off?
If I thought I was going to fall off, I wouldn't have done it, Stumpo. Mm-hmm. I was optimistic I wouldn't, and I'll tell you why I did it if you're so interested.
You wouldn't put my goddamn neck at risk, and Freddy's. Would be out here across I don't know how many state lines without a husband. You've drawn unnecessary attention to us by falling off a plane and getting squashed to death. Come on, will you hurry up?
You want to know why I did it or not?
I know why you did it. I could drop my pants and do the same.
What about me? I'd like to know why.
Okay. Tell me in the taxi.
It's private. All this whole trip, you've been more or less ignoring me.
Oh, baloney.
Yeah, you have. I've been mostly placed in the position of being left alone, like a fifth wheel, and not being made to feel like I'm included.
Well, I just got married. Do you mind?
Hey, I just got married.
Wait a minute.
No, this is no fun, and I'm not planning on putting up with it.
Oh. Okay, Oscar. Okay. I'm sorry. What can I say? Except that I'm glad that you brought it to my attention. I really am.
Oh, yeah. So you should pay some attention to the fact, you know, that after all, I'm here too.
And Beatty's playing like this really specific kind of proper dude who's sort of putting on airs, but actually isn't that proper at all. You know, he's really a con man, but... Anyway, I remember seeing this on a list of favorites of Joel Coen, I think, like on his Sight and Sound list years ago, and that was what turned me on to it. I couldn't believe I hadn't heard of this Mike Nichols movie with this cast, because it's really funny. So definitely see this one. This is not Region B-Lock. This is all Region. Special features include High Definition Remaster, original mono audio, audio commentary with film critic and historian Nick Pinkerton, Mike Nichols and Elaine May in conversation, 2006, 69 minutes. The two friends and collaborators discuss many aspects of filmmaking after a screening of May's Ishtar at New York's Walter Reed Theater. Professor Kyle Stevens on The Fortune, 2017, 6 minutes. A new filmed appreciation by the author of Mike Nichols' Sex, Language, and the Reinvention of Psychological Realism. Very cool little bit. Isolated Music and Effects track. 32-page booklet with new essay by Martin Contario. Nichols, Beatty, and Channing on The Fortune, a brief portrait of Carol Eastman, an overview of contemporary critical responses, etc. Well worth the pickup, this one. Twilight Time put this out at some point a while back. This disc has a little bit more in the way of features, but I can't recommend it enough. I talked about it on Pure Cinema. I can't remember what episode that was now. But anyway, it's come up. It's a favorite. I'm glad it's getting this nice release. Indicator Series... I'm a fan. You should be too. Start importing their stuff. Powerhousefilms.co.uk, I think, is their website. And they've got a lot of interesting stuff coming up. Box sets of Hammer films and maybe a box set of Bud Bedeker films. Really, really exciting. So check them out. And also have a lovely and Blu-ray filled week. And I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.